We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Welcome to Snacky Tunes, coming at you live on Heritage Radio Network. Getting a little chill wave with some pizza and creep with Miss Lauren Flax.
I like that.
What was that, Days Off? Who are we talking here?
It's Dazed.
Dazed.
Yeah.
Featuring Romy from this little underground band, XX. Up and coming. Can't wait to see what
maybe,
they...
Yeah, maybe you've heard of them.
Maybe you heard of them. but Flax will be talking to us about all things creep and all things awesome a little bit later in the show. But right now we have the... Lovely ladies from Brooklyn Enology. Welcome, Allie, Danielle, and Heather.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Why don't you ladies introduce yourselves and your roles at BOE?
Yeah. Well, this is Allie Shaper. I'm the founder, owner, and winemaker of Brooklyn Enology.
Mm-hmm. And then
this is Heather Barnard-Herman, the tasting room manager of Brooklyn Enology.
Mm-hmm. And this is Danielle de Blasio. I'm handling the PR for the tasting room.
Awesome. So, Brooklyn Enology, or BOE as we'll call it, since, you know, we don't need to say
Shorthand.
It's not your normal wine shop. I know everyone says you know, every time you turn around in Brooklyn, there's another wine store, another this, another that, another liquor store. But you guys aren't that. You're a tasting room.
Yeah.
And so can you explain to our listeners what a tasting room is and why it's unique to Brooklyn and Williamsburg specifically?
Yeah. Well, it's the tasting room for the winery. So same way you might, say, go out to wine country and, you know, drive down the street and stop at this winery and look at their vineyards and do a flight of their wines and kind of experience the winery. We've just situated that in Brooklyn instead of all the way out in wine country, so you can just roll off the L train and stumble into a winery situation.
And then roll into a cab.
That's right. It's a lot easier than driving.
It's a lot easier. So, and your approach to it is more, I mean, you've also, like, little edibles and things like that, so it's not just your normal go in, have a glass, buy something like that. It's an experience, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, well, first of all, you know, it being our tasting room for the Brooklyn Enology, the winery, you can get tastes of the wines, you can do flights, you can hang out and have a glass of it, but also, because we're a winery, you can buy bottles to go, retail. So it's, you know, we're not a wine bar per se, but it's, you know, kind of a hybrid of those things. So we're not a full-on restaurant or anything, but we also sell foods made around New York, cheeses and charcuterie and chocolates and jams and all that good stuff. And you can hang out and snack on it if you want, or take it to go provision style.
Now, you've also integrated other parts of Brooklyn, especially the art, into your store, into your bottles. How has that process developed, or, you know, what is the crossover like?
You know, when I first thought of the concept for Brooklyn Enology, I wanted the winery to be more than just, here's some very nice wine, and we happen to be in Brooklyn. I really wanted to make it a part of what Brooklyn is really all about. You know, one of the reasons that I came to live here was to be around the arts and the culture and everything that Brooklyn has to offer. And so, you know, kind of mulled over a few different versions of exactly how to do that. And, you know, I decided, I first thought maybe, you know, I'd have some Brooklyn artists do pictures of Brooklyn landmarks or something like that. But then I thought, no, maybe, you know, just the artwork itself, you know, as people are doing it here. And so, with the exception of one wine, all the art is it's non-commissioned. It's already existing pieces, so it's what people are doing. You know, it's the art that they actually practice, not something that is requested as part of a commission. You know, it's what the artist envisions for their own purpose and for their own study.
So, wine is one of those things that usually is like shrouded in mystery, wrapped in an enigma. It's you know people who conquer food. Take even longer to conquer wine. It's essentially a variation on a giant theme. How are you helping people distinguish wines? How are you helping people find the flavors that they love? And what are you working to get people more into the fold?
You know, part of the beauty of having a tasting room is it's a place where somebody can come down and just learn. You know, you can really talk to the people that make it. I'm in there a lot, and any one of us, you know, Heather, Danielle, and any of our other staff are really well-versed in wines and especially our wines. And really the point is to explore. You know, wine isn't really all that mysterious. There just happens to be a lot of it made out there. So, you know, knowing everything about every different region, unless you intend on becoming a master sommelier, is really not practical. And really, in the end, what you need to know is, you know, I like this style or that style, and whether you enjoy it. And it really doesn't matter what anybody else says. And so we're there to talk to people, to talk to our customers, and, you know, answer any questions, because nobody's born knowing about wine, you know.
How many wines would you say someone has to know about to give off the impression that they know anything about wine?
Such a good question.
You know, what I like to say about wine, the only rule is that there are no rules. You know, you can explore as much as you want or as little as you want. You can just know as much as you want. You know, it just depends on what your level of interest is. You know, if you'd like something that's just kind of juicy and delicious and what I call a drink, don't think wine, you know, all you know is that you enjoy the flavor and you don't need to sit there and study, oh, I smell cocoa and bramble and floral jasmine and whatnot. And that's great. You know, if that interests you, then that's what that person wants to know. If that doesn't interest you, if you just simply want to know, I like something fruity, or I like something on the dry side, or, you know, really, I mean, there's so many great places to get wine, and you know, when people come to our tasting room, I think one of the first questions we ask is, you know, what are you looking for? And, you know, we're there to direct you to what it is, because we're the ones who are responsible for knowing. So should somebody know about a certain number of wines? I don't think so. You know, you just have a general idea of what you want.
So should it be the food that they like driving the flavors of the wine they drink, or should it just be a more overall flavor palette that they enjoy?
I think what you enjoy, for sure. You know, there's certainly, I don't know if I'll even call it a science, but, you know, there's definitely certain things that pair well together, but then mix it up. You know, what do you really feel like having? You know, people always say red wine with meat and white wine with fish, and I've had plenty of things that are completely opposite of that, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. Well, we're going to get into a song. We're going to play some songs. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the grapes and making wine and custom blends and things like that. You're listening to Snacky Tunes. I'm Tara Diabolik, one half your host, Finger on the Pulse. Do You Never Forget is out running New York City at the Ace Hotel. And we got Creep coming up later. Big shout out to Roberta's, who just keep piling in the pizza.
So much pizza.
So much pizza. Mm-hmm. It's so good. I told you ladies not to eat. It got lost in translation.
We blew it.
We got tons of pizza.
Eat anyway.
We got some great wines from BOE. We're drinking a little rosé right now. And and big shout out to Whole Foods for being fresh and affordable and everywhere you want to be when you're making a delicious dinner in November. All right, this is The Drums, and this is, I don't know if it's an appropriate song, but it's a good song to drink wine and pizza too. Ooh, that is The Drums. Brooklyn's very own The Drums. Saddest Summer. a very appropriate song for a balmy, beautiful day in November. I'm here with the lovely ladies of Brooklyn Enology, Allie, Danielle, and Heather. You're listening to Snacky Tunes on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. And we are chowing down on this pizza.
We are snacking.
We are snacking.
Our faces with it.
Snacking, listening to tunes. That might be a good name for a show. And we were drinking some nice rosé. So let's talk about the wines that you make and how you make them. You know, I know that Napa, Sonoma are really touted for getting grapes and things like that, but you get all of your grapes locally.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all coming from New York. And I started out getting grapes just from the North Fork of Long Island, but in 2009, started buying some grapes from the Finger Lakes, too. So it's all New York sourced, and there's some really good fruit out there.
Talking about the fruit, how do you source it? How do you find it? Who do you work with?
I work with, I have worked with about ten now. I've lost track. 10 different growers on Long Island, and now 4 in the Finger Lakes. And some of them I've found because I liked the wines from those particular wineries, and so I knew I'd would enjoy working with that fruit. And other people's grapes, I have gone on some advice from some other people who've been in the local industry for a while and tried it out. And then last year, when I decided to get grapes from the Finger Lakes, took a road trip with another fellow winemaker. Both of us were aiming to get some grapes from there, so we took a road trip and bounced around from vineyard to vineyard and talked to the vineyard managers and the winery owners and winemakers and found the places that we decided we were going to buy the fruit from. So,
is it like truffle foraging or their secret handshakes and you just got to get pre-approved before someone shows you where the grapes are?
Yeah, they eyeball you, know, they look you up and down and give you the sidewinding look. Not really. I mean, you know, not every vineyard, not every winery wants to sell all of their grapes. You know, some wineries, they use all of their own fruit and they don't buy, they don't sell, they don't trade or anything. Just depends. I think it's a secret handshake. You just have to ask a lot of questions, and
that's how secret it is. Yeah. That you're not even going to admit that it's there.
Yeah. If you have to ask, then
yes. The secret winemaker society of America.
So you get the fruit, you get the grapes, and where do you make your wine?
So I'm doing production for now out on Long Island on the North Fork. There's a custom crush winery. It's kind of like a big cooperative. There are 16 different producers all working in the same facility. And that's in Matatuck, out on the North Fork. And otherwise, everything else for the company is based in Brooklyn. I've founded the company in the County of Kings. the tasting room there, I've been running the wholesale sales operation out of Brooklyn for a while. So in for the meantime, doing the winemaking out at Long Island at this custom crush facility. It's kind of like an incubator facility.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. You know, you don't have to jump into a huge capital investment to get a brand going, you know, because it's just me working on it all by myself. And
just you? They just give you a still and they're like, have at it?
Hey, go. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's a little more intricate than that. We, because there are so many producers, so they have a main guy there who coordinates everybody's, you know. But for the most part, that's essentially how it works. You know, it's kind of like renting a furnished apartment. You don't actually own any of the furniture, but it's cook with the pots and pans and you use the towels and all of that. And,
mm-hmm. And start to finish, how long is the process from when you pick the fruit to when you're putting that bottle on the shelf?
It's a shorter life cycle for, shorter product cycle for whites. So whites can be released as early as December if you're doing like a real fresh, quick, fruity style. If you're doing something like a barrel-aged Chardonnay, you might not release it until a year after. Reds probably don't release until maybe 14 to 36 months after the grapes are picked, depending on what you're making.
And do you have any plan for vintage blends or anything like that?
Blending multiple vintages together? Yeah. You know, I haven't really thought about it. I hadn't thought about it too much, but who knows?
We ask the hard questions here.
Oh, making me think, man.
Put pizza in your belly, and then we...
Well, wine and the pizza, and then
softball,
think about my future. I don't know.
We have some secret things coming up that we're pushing for, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So secret handshake to get the groups, to get the wine, mm-hmm. and then secret things coming up.
Yeah.
So let's get into the wines. Let's talk about what you offer and what you brought today. And the different, let's go with the top seller. What's your most popular? What's the flagship of your brand?
I have this wine that I call Motley Crue, and it is my sort of fun experiment blend, you know, because the varieties of grapes that are grown on the North Fork, I do my reds out of North Fork grapes, and there's a lot of the Bordeaux varieties like Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon and Cabernet Franc out there. Malbec and Petit Verdot are also Bordeaux varieties. And while I do a Bordeaux-style blend, I wanted to do something that was kind of different than what many of my other colleagues were doing out there. So it's my wine that I'm going to do a different blend with each year and just play with different grapes together. And the first vintage of that I released was a Syrah base blend with Malbec and Petit Verdot and a little bit of Cabernet Sauvignon, a little Merlot thrown in. And the next vintage, which is coming up soon, is going to be completely different.
Oh, so completely different. Each year is just...
Yeah, and that wine has sort of gotten a following, you know, everywhere, you know, whenever we show...
Obsessed with it. Obsessed enough to go buy our own case retail somewhere where we happen to find one, and we're all kind of holding on to it. I think, Allie, you have like a bottle left somewhere, two bottles.
I already drank my bottle, so it's gone.
Yeah. It's bananas. It's really, really
it's
good.
So that's kind of like, you know, the monster that I created, because everywhere we go, whenever at Green Markets, everyone's like, do you have the Motley Crue? Do you have the Motley Crue? You know, and the next vintage just isn't ready for release yet, but it's coming up. Another hot seller right now is our Social Club Red, which I brought for us. And that's my Bordeaux-style blend, and it's this awesome everyday table wine. Have it with any kind of food. Perfect with this Roberta's pizza here, too, but it's great with, you know, grilled meats or grilled vegetables or what have you, or for watching movies or generally doing nothing on Sunday or something like that.
So anytime wine.
Yep.
And what about any, what's a sleeper hit? What's what are people not picking up, but that's their problem and not yours?
More of it to me, for me to drink. Yeah, that's not really a problem necessarily. Yeah. A sleeper hit.
06 Merlot?
I think so, yeah. I think the 06 Merlot, yeah. The 06 Merlot is this kind of really finessed... really Bordeaux style, European style Merlot. Merlot really went out of fashion, especially after that movie Sideways, but I think, you know, also people got captured by other grapes. They got captured by Pinot Noir and Syrah and Malbec, and those are kind of like the hot grapes right now. And Merlot makes some of the best Bordeaux in the world. You know, you think of Petrus and that kind of thing, and that's primarily a Merlot-based wine. And but Merlot, when you grow it in super hot climates, will make this kind of really super sweet, super fruity wine that doesn't have a lot of acidity, can be a little flabby and kind of one-dimensional. But when you grow it in a New York climate that's just a couple degrees toned down, oh, it's a really great wine. You blend it with just a little bit of other stuff, and the 06 Merlot it's really starting to show itself now.
Awesome.
And I think that's one that, you know, somebody could, you know, pick up six bottles or a case and lay down a bunch and open them up over the years and see how it changes and whatnot. Yeah.
And what's the shelf life for these wines? Because, you know, I know that it constantly ages and it gets better time, but then it peaks and it drops. What would you recommend?
I mean, typically, and again, you know, these are just guidelines because all these rules go out the window depending on that particular wine.
Right.
But typically, whites don't age as long. You know, things like Sauvignon Blanc or which can age, but you know, sort of the more aromatic whites, they tend to lose their delicacy over time a little bit more quickly. Chardonnays tend to last a little bit longer. Something like a Gamay, or, you know, say a Beaujolais Nouveau, that's meant to be had right away. You know, that's not meant to sit around your cellar for 20 years or anything like that. You know, kind of a rule of thumb is, you know, the higher quality the wine, the more robust it is, the longer it will last. But again, it all depends on the individual wine. That's something you sort of pick up by experience.
Right. Well, ladies, I want to thank you. And for the actual BOE experience, it's on North Wythe, between North 3rd and North 4th.
209 Wythe.
209 Wythe. The website is Brooklyn Oenology, and that's Brooklyn, OEnology.com. For all those who can't say pronounce it, myself included.
You're saying it perfectly.
Thank you. Thank you for the tips. And you have awesome late hours for those who want to experience. You're open until Sunday through Thursday till 10?
Mm-hmm. We're open until 11 on Thursdays.
Okay, so Sunday through Wednesday till 10, 11 on Thursdays, and then midnight Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. So you can come hang out, relax.
And you can buy wine to go till midnight, mm-hmm. right?
Definitely.
Yep. Yeah. Uh-huh. Stores open till midnight on Friday, Saturday.
Roll it in like a date.
Yep.
Take it out for a nightcap.
Uh-huh.
And have
bring a bottle home with you.
Have a little rosé for brunch next morning. Am I right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
All right, ladies. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks.
We will be by there every day and every night.
Sweet.
I believe it.
Yeah. So anyway, so we got some awesome tracks coming up. And then we got Creep, Miss Lauren Flax, in the studio. She's going to drop us some songs, talk about life on the road, talk about her amazing partner's sleeping habits, and all things that. You listen to Snacky Tunes. I'm Terry Diabolic, one half a finger on the pulse. Shout out to Roberta's, Jack Insling, Rec Tech, our producer and engineer, and Whole Foods for all your specialty needs goods and growlers of beer. Check out Whole Foods in New York and Brooklyn. Here you go.
Stop lights. in that order. Public visitation. We met at Borders. Told her she'd take me back. I'll be more supportive. I made mistakes. I bumped my head. And court sucked me dry. I spent that bread. She need a daddy. Baby, please. Can't let her grow up in that ghetto university. Top lights, flashlights, spotlights, strobe lights, street lights.
All of the lights, all of the lights.
Fast life, drug life, thug life, rock life. Every night.
All of the lights.
That last song was All the Lights from this underground rapper, Kanye West. Real scrapper, real up-and-comer. But yeah, that's off his new album, which got a perfect score on Pitchfork. And
which is insane. Has that ever happened?
The last one was Wilco, Yankee Foxtrot Hotel. Wow. Back in, what was it, 2001? And then before that was Recognizer by Daft Punk off the Tron album. And the whole soundtrack is amazing. It's epic.
Bananas.
We have Lauren Flax the Creep here. Whose Hi. Dream it is? Your dream is to score some stuff as well.
Oh yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Stuff is the edited version of what you told me during the break, but yeah. So we've had you on before, mm-hmm. as Lauren Flax, the wonderful and talented, and now we have you as part of a mega group with other Lauren Dillard, mm-hmm. Creep.
Who's not here? She's in Fart Green.
Fart Green. Fart Green. Wow.
She's listening right now.
Hey, Dylan. So talk to me about Creep. So for all those who don't know, I mean, Creep's gotten a lot of buzz up until this point.
But weirdly.
Let's break them. Let's break them with Snacky Tunes right now. Talk to me about Creep.
It's me and Lauren Dillard, basically. And we have a lot of guest vocalists that come sing for us. And I have no idea what we're doing.
That's not true.
Yeah.
That's not true at all.
No, we're like, you know, we're doing pretty well. We don't have any music out yet, which is really weird, except some remixes, but...
Yeah, but that's how it starts.
Yeah. Slowly kind of, you know, releasing little teaser videos and just kind of like, just giving them a little bit.
Little taste.
Yeah.
First taste is always free, right? I think you taught me that. okay, but so let's talk about it. So what type of music are you making? For those who aren't familiar with Creep, you know, we don't need to pigeonhole you, but, you know, like,
yeah,
talk
definitely.
To me. Talk to me about the feeling. Talk about the emotion.
You know, it's just dark music. I think it's close enough to trip hop, really, but I don't try to, categorize, you know, everyone's categorizing us, and I'm not even going to say any of the names, you know, that yeah. we've been put in, but yeah, I don't know. We just like, we started off really like heavy on synths, and now mm-hmm. we're going more and more towards strings and, you know, dark trip-hoppy R&B type stuff.
You know, it's funny that you say you're making dark music because of all the people I think about, know in Brooklyn, you and I have shared many a laugh.
I know, I'm like the happiest person in the world.
So where does it come, so where does it come from? Because when you think of like Trent Reznor, you're like, yeah, I can see why that guy makes dark music.
Yeah.
But, you know, you and I hang out, you're smiling right now.
Yeah.
So where does it come from?
The wine is delicious, by the way.
But
I learned so much about wine today, and I usually judge by the packaging, and that's how I buy my wine.
But, so, I mean, is it easy to make dark music when you're in a happy place?
You know what? I've always just done dark stuff. I mean, you've heard like the remixes I've been doing, yeah. you know, I just take the happiness right out and it just gets real dark. I don't know. Like I have no idea where it comes from.
Put that crushing sad filter on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's an Ableton plugin, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, but your shows are not, I mean, you recently play, I guess it wasn't recent, but you play a sold out show with Men over the summer.
Yeah. That was kind of our first little petite. It wasn't really live. It was live because we, you know, played live and played all the instruments and stuff, but it wasn't, like, our show. It was just kind of like, it's really hard because we're both learning, and we have to learn in front of an audience, and it's really scary. So, like, we just were like, you know what? Let's just start it, get out there, and, like, just figure out our show, like, in front of people. So it gave us a good idea of what we need to do. So now, like, 2011, it's going to be...
But that incubation process is so important these days, and it's almost forgotten. Yeah. I mean, I can think of a handful of buzz bands that come to mind who barely put out an album, are touted as the next great thing, and then they're put in front of a room with people, and people are like, why is this so bad?
Yeah, it's so frightening. I don't know. Performing live is so different than DJing.
Oh,
to
yeah.
To me, like, and DJing is like, man, I have so much fun. It's like... no problem. 10,000 people, it's no big deal. It's awesome. But, like, I don't know, when I play live, it's like I'm standing under, like, a microscope, booty butt naked. You know? It's freaky. So
I'm sorry,
I gotta
which
get used
live
to-
show is this? Because I'm just taking notes.
So, you know, it's kind of, I feel like we've got a lot to learn, but, you know, I feel like people will be, they'll be all right to us, I hope.
Can you give me a little, a taste and an explanation of what the live show looks like or what it's going to be?
Well, basically, me and Lauren are going to switch off on a lot of the instruments. Well, Lauren's going to mainly focus on keys, and I'm going to play a little bit of keys and then guitar and then some drum pads and things like that. And then we have two cello players.
Oh, awesome.
Which is, I'm so psyched on, because I've been obsessed with strings since I was little. So
a good number of your
remixes
feature strings.
Everything I ever do has strings on it, like forever and ever. So it's cool to actually have that live aspect of it.
That's nice.
And you know, we're just starting to build, and then we're gonna have visuals and like big giant visuals, because basically, like, the people we're working with, they're insane already on tour all the time, and they're not gonna actually be able to tour with us. So we're just gonna like do videos of them and like project their faces huge, you know, so they're kind of like on tour with us, you know.
Awesome. Well, we're gonna talk more about the collaborations after the song. We're gonna play. We'll preface it as a demo.
Yeah, you know what? This song isn't even done. It's the track we collaborated with Nina Sky. And
so awesome.
Yesterday, I contacted Nomi Ruiz of Hercules and Love Affair and Jessica Six. She's going to actually rap on this song.
Nomi?
Yeah.
Who's going to rap?
She's going to rap on this song. I'm so psyched. So it's not on there yet, but this will give you a taste of like our second single.
All right, so here we go. Snacky Tunes Exclusive You by Creep featuring Nina Sky. We're talking to Lauren Flax. Who's drinking? Is that rosé?
Yeah.
All right. We're getting back to you in just a minute. You're listening to Snacky Tunes on HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Can I get a taste of you? Thirsty forever. Everything you do, yeah. Feels like I'm missing what you got inside. You can be the shining light, my guide. It's got me ready to attack, attack, attack. You want it, quit lying, come try it, you can fight it. You want it, quit lying, come try it, you can fight it.
Hey, 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 hey,
uh-huh. we'll have no regrets. 'Cause always gonna rain tonight, a storm that's so intense. I wanna get you inside and make sure that you're alright. And we could do it all night. Yeah, we could do it all night.
All right, that was You featuring Nina Sky, made by the wonderful Lauren Squared of Creep.
Yeah.
So how do your collaborations work? Do you call them, they call you, my people call your people?
You know, with Rami, it was just, you know, she's been a friend for a long time.
Rami the XX.
Rami, yeah. So, you know, Lauren and I had just started, like, kind of farting around the studio and just writing music for fun or whatever. And then we finished that song. We actually had Peaches Geldof sing on it originally.
How'd that work out?
I mean, I love her. She's a sweet girl. But I had to put a lot of reverb and a lot of, like, effects and everything. It just wasn't working.
And then
we were basically like, you know, duh, Rami, you know, she wanted to do it. And she said, yeah. So, you know, on tour, she just kind of laid down some vocals and sent it. And we're just like, oh, my God, it's done. And then the next time she was in New York, she just came over. And it was so cute because we recorded in my bedroom. And she's, like, I went and saw her show the night before, sold out at Webster Hall or wherever it was. And, you know, so she's singing in front of, like, 1,000 people or whatever. Comes to my house, we go to record, and she's like, can you just hit record and then go wait outside? And, like,
you know,
it was, like, the cutest thing. She's so shy, and but it was, you know, she just nailed it.
I mean, there's that argument of, like, 20 versus 20,000. Of where,
yeah, no, you're totally, totally right. And it's another thing about, like, being naked, you know what I mean? And, like, being comfortable with somebody in the studio.
Yeah, so it's just like, you're so exposed, and it's just,
yeah,
it's like that. So who else do you have on the collaboration block? Who's coming up? Who's dropping vocals?
So, yeah, so Nina Sky, and basically they reached out to me on Twitter and had basically asked me to do a house track for them. And like an upbeat, because they've been doing a lot of those house jams, are really, really
yeah.
good. And I was like, you know, I really, really, really need you on a Creep track. So well, me and Lauren were in Berlin for a month and writing in the summer and finished that track. And I was like, this is totally Nina Sky. Just a straight up trip hop track with, it just needs R&B vocals. And, you know, I sent it to them. They were like, yeah, we're totally down. And then they came in and recorded the vocals. And me and Lauren were like, in the studio, like jumping out of our skin because, you know, as soon as they went into the vocal booth, it was just like, oh my God. Because they're incredible. They're so
they are
awesome.
Incredible. Are you going to do a house track for them?
I don't think so. I'm totally.
Yeah, I'll get you on the flip side. You just
know
put
what?
These vocals down
for I'm not writing any house music. I'm just concentrating on Creep because we're doing a whole record in 2011. So, and we're like halfway there. We got about 5 songs. And I mean, that's like my life right now.
So you're going to put out a full album verse, a couple of EPs.
We're going to do, well, the first single is on Young Turks.
Okay.
And, which is so amazing. I love so many people on that label. And you know, we're just going to start it off with a couple singles and then go from there. I don't know what we're doing.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's so tough now with DJing. It's so much about a single. I guess it's always been about a single. But I mean, there's so, because I mean, even if you look at like the Digitalism albums or anything like that, it's essentially 12 singles.
Yeah.
And they're good, but it's just, there's sometimes, it's very tough to get cohesion.
Yeah. I definitely don't want to go there. I want to have a whole like record that's going to kind of travel.
Are you singing? Are you or Dillard singing?
Not really. I might do a little like backing stuff, but I don't know. Not really. I say Creep and intro. That's about it.
Are you gonna do your, are you gonna put a sort of trip hop jazz Jewel cover on there?
No.
So what are the tour plans looking like?
It's looking like 2011. We're starting to rehearse in December, and just kind of getting it going. But we have a lot of videos that we need to do. We just found a video. I hate to say intern. I want to say she's a band member because she's going to do our videos and for the live show. And so we got a lot of work to do. You know, I'm not really sure when we're going to actually start. We've been getting offers to come play live, but I don't want to jump into it right away.
I mean, there's no point.
Yeah.
There's no point because it's like we said before, it's just if you get one bad review, people, it's like they love you until they have reason to hate you.
Yeah.
And I don't think you need to give them reason to. But you're going to be, you'll be in Miami this weekend.
Yep, Art Basel. Yeah, that should be fun. It was my first time, so.
I'm excited. I'm excited for you.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Such as we hung out at Miami last time, it was a blast.
I don't remember. I was a little drunk.
You were having a good time.
The whole week, yeah.
Yeah, WME.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, so we're going to play another song, and then we'll get back, and we'll talk about the future and the dream and recording some more and building your own studio.
Cool.
What's this next song we're going to play?
This is intro. This is on the first single on Young Turks with the Days track, and it's with Black Cracker.
And when's it? Is the single available?
It's coming out in, I think early December, and it's going to be a picture disc white vinyl, and it's going to have Creep in the middle. It's so excited about.
You know,
it.
Early December is in 2 days, right?
Yeah, we're still working it out. I'm actually waiting for test presses now, but you know, the video and everything is supposed to debut right around December.
All right, so here we go. Intro by Creep with Black Cracker, Snacky Tunes. Here we go.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo. It's a lot of shadows out there. Creep.
All right, that was just Creep intro with Black Cracker. Is that you sing Creep? That was what you're talking about?
Yeah, that's my vocals.
That's good. That's a good vocal job.
Thanks.
So you have your own studio.
Yeah, I mean, I have like a bedroom set up that I can, you know, get by in.
I mean,
nothing crazy. I mean, I moved into this building and there's a full recording studio in there. So I've been renting that, which is really awesome. It's like a kind of an art-centric building. They have a screening room and stuff like that. So that's like $25 an hour. So I've been like taking full advantage of working in there.
That's awesome. So you just roll out, still in your jammies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just good to get out of my bedroom. I don't want to, it's hard to be inspired. You know what I mean? I'd like to be surrounded with more gear and technology and things like that.
But I mean, talk to me about your writing process. I mean, how much is it a collaboration between you and Dillard? Do you guys throw things against the wall, see what sticks, or do you just jam out?
You know what? One of us will start something and then get stuck, and then we'll pass it on, and we just kind of pass it back and forth, and then eventually we'll probably work on it together, but, you know, we do pretty good on our own, just kind of like working on it.
And what do you look for to our inspiration? Who's inspiring you right now?
You know what? All my friends, man, they're just killing it in life right now. I feel like I need to, like, keep up with them, you know what I mean? So it keeps me working pretty hard.
So when I hear the wine drinking, pizza eating inspired piece on the album, I know where it came from.
Yeah, exactly.
So you guys have a video coming out, yeah. Or many videos coming out, but there's
one main video.
There's a main video coming out, yeah. And it's sort of a big deal. It's in this competition. Tell me about this competition.
It's the Camera Image Festival in Poland, so it's a pretty prestigious festival. And Warren Fisher from Fisher Spooner, he's the one who did our video, mm-hmm. And he owns a film company called Bunker. So, you know, when he offered to do our video, me and Lauren were like, yeah, awesome. We can do it on the cheapie, and he can totally make it look like we spent a lot of money. And, you know, we show up to the place he scouted in Yonkers, and there were two semis and 30 workers on set.
What?
Yeah, I'm not kidding. It was like insane. We shot at Elder Manor, which is this big old Victorian.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, we filmed there, and then LCD filmed after, and then after that, Kanye, Jay-Z, and Nicki Minaj just did a video there.
So all up and comers again.
Yes.
It's a nice group to be linked with. So I know the video's not out, but can you talk about the concept and the inspiration behind it?
You know what? In the beginning, you know, Lauren and I just sent Warren a series of beautiful, weird photos. And Lauren is really the visual one of the group, so she really took a big part of the video. And he just made a bunch of scenarios, and it's just so beautifully shot. And then he submitted it to the Camera Image and got nominated for Best Video and Best Cinematography.
So can anyone help? Can we help get this video get to the top?
Yeah, at some point when we can actually release it and it's not leaked on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, so talk to me about that. What does it feel like to be leaked?
Frustrating. Because, you know, we've been working months and months on planning and getting everything going, and when somebody just gets their hands on it and puts it out there, it's frustrating. But at the same time, it's like, all right, I understand. Like, people want to see it, so I have to take that as, like, a compliment in a way, you know? But it was frustrating at the time because I was in Copenhagen, and I was, like, it was, like, 4 a.m. there, and I'm calling my managers and everybody on the phone, like, freaking out. And YouTube actually took it down in one day, so.
Did you get in touch with? I don't even know who you get in touch with for that.
There's some process for copyright infringement, so I just contacted them.
Mm. Did you ever find out who leaked it?
It doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter?
No, it's just not a big deal. I mean, it's down, and whatever. Some people got to see it.
Did you get some good response from it, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that smile. I mean, it's like, it's that, like, left-handed compliment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Definitely people are really wanting to see it, so that's really good. And Warren, I mean, God, he did such an amazing job on the video, obviously, you know.
And you have a good relationship. I mean, you've been their tour DJ.
Yeah, they're family, you know. Warren and Casey are like family. So I've been DJing for Fisher Spooner since 2008, so.
So what's it like, you know, being established as DJ Lauren Flax and having a career? I mean, you and I have DJed together for, I don't know, half a decade now.
Yeah.
And then sort of putting Flax on hold. And doing just Creep.
Love it.
You love it?
I'm schizophrenic with music because I have like Fisher Spooner, so I have to do that side of things. And then, you know, with my normal stuff, people are expecting house. And with Creep, I can do whatever I want.
So you found it to be freeing?
So, yeah, absolutely. You know, like I know like the people that come to see a Lauren Flax set or whatever, they're definitely expecting a house set. So now with Creep, I can do it's awesome. It's great.
It is amazing to go from being a DJ, even though you're doing remixes and putting out original stuff, mm-hmm. and then be like, now I'm an artiste, and you will take what
I'm
I give
you. I'm ready
for
the next chapter. I'm ready to play live and not DJ as much and just share shitty hotel rooms with Lauren and and tour.
And can you talk to me a little about the art project I have with Dillard and photos of her sleeping?
Oh, yeah. Lauren looks like an... She looks really silly when she sleeps. You know, her mouth goes agape and she's just kind of like... And I just pretty much wait for it. And I just, you know, I just snap some photos of her sleeping. And then I plan on doing an art project after we tour. And I'm going to basically blow up huge posters of Lauren sleeping.
That'd be great for one of the songs. If that was an inspiration to have a montage of just Dillard sleeping in the
back.
That's
a great idea. I think I would go home and do that.
I think it would go really well. All right, so let's do the bullet points. If I want to hear Creep music, I can go to...
Our MySpace page is MySpace/WeAreCreep, or our YouTube page. We have some stuff up on that, and that is Creep Official.
Oh, you know what? I've always wanted to ask, and asking now. All the symbols in the Creep logo.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you get that from? What was your inspiration?
That's Lauren Dillard.
That's all Dillard?
She's such a genius with that stuff.
I mean, it's a beautiful logo.
Yeah, it's I'm super psyched on it.
When are you getting your Creep tattoo?
Never.
Never?
No.
Why?
That's like it's like... Curse. Oh, it's like getting your wife or husband's name on and then you get a divorce. It's like not.
Oh, yeah. It's like I'm a vegan straight edge. And next thing you know, you're like doing shots of whiskey.
Doing pickleback shots.
Yeah, while you eat ribs.
Yeah.
Awesome. So if you're lucky enough to be in Miami this Friday, you can see you DJ.
Yeah, I'll be at Townhouse for the Broken Hearts.
And then I guess we gotta wait till 2011 to see you live. But the single's coming out in early December, a.k.a. 3 days.
Hopefully December.
Three days to 2 weeks.
It could be January. At this point, but I'm really just ready for it to come out.
So either early Christmas or late New Year's type
yeah,
of present. So maybe, you know, Martin Luther King Day, Creep
yeah,
official.
Yeah.
Just like the UK Christmas single. It's the Creep MLK Jr. awesome. Well, Flex, always a pleasure.
Yeah.
I don't know how you make such dark music with such a shining, beautiful face. It wasn't matter. And
I'm blushing.
The ladies of BOE, wonderful time. Thank you for coming. Thank you for the wines. And seriously, I'm just waiting to be able to listen to some Creep while I drink some wine.
Yeah, absolutely.
It might put me a little asleep, but that's okay. But it'll be a cozy, deep, very regenerating type of sleep.
It'll be a horny sleep.
Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah. All right. That's and funny. On that note, we will end another glorious Snacky Tunes. I want to thank our wonderful sponsor, Whole Foods, who I was just informed that their Brooklyn location is not quite open yet, but will be opening soon. Go to the city. The flagship down on in the Bowery is awesome. You can get growlers and even a giant cheese room and things like that. Roberta's, thank you for the pizza. I can barely move. And to Heritage as Food and Nat and Jack and pizza and wine and things like that. Flack, what's the last song we're going to listen to?
It's called Empty Church. There's no vocals on it yet. We're still... If Bat for Lashes is listening, please reach out because we want you on this song really bad.
Yeah, Bat for Lashes.
Or anyway, Robin.
Or Robin. You can get in touch with us at music@fotpnyc.com.
Yes.
Hit us up. We'll put you in touch with Creep. And I won't say what, but we have Finger on the Pulse of a very special food event coming up on the 16th. Check your mailing lists or write us for that. Again, shout out to Never Forget. I'm Ty Diabolik. We will see you next week with some more great food and music.